I spread a song so you can sing along with my special guest star
two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast by chance explores musicals for you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song's Second Chance Theater, where we recover a topic, but with a new guest. I'm your host, Sean, and with me today is a bestie of the pod who you already heard. It's Ashley Evans, everyone.
Woo! It's me, and we're not talking about Riverdale.
Oh, yeah. This is your second non-Riverdale-related episode ever on the podcast. Congratulations.
Thank you. I feel like I've graduated. I would like to thank...
No, wait. I lied. This is your fourth non-Riverdale-related episode. I forgot.
Wait, really?
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. How could I forget? I should be punished. Okay.
It was what? Season 3 of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and the concert and Tick, Tick, Boom.
So Tick, Tick, Boom.
This is your fourth property and your first second chance.
But my first... second chance.
Oh,
wow.
We're here today to recover the 2021 masterpiece, I'm calling it that, The Heights.
I love this movie so much.
We previously covered it. It was episode number 31 with the guest Melody Cruz, where I remember I reached out to her via TikTok and was like, I need you to be a guest. And this is the perfect movie for you. And she was like, cool. And even re-listening to it, I was like, she's so cool.
She's so cool. I, in preparation for this, just because I didn't want to like overtread territory that had already been discussed because it's a second chance, not a remake. It's kind of like the Mean Girls movie, how it was just like movie, musical, movie of the musical. But they didn't show in any of the marketing that it was a musical. Like, I wanted to avoid that. So this is its own thing.
Its own thing, yes. So why did you want to recover this movie?
Well, I mean, Okay. To answer your question directly, this is the movie that restored my faith in movie musicals. Like, we were pretty spoiled in 2021. We got this. We got Tick, Tick, Boom. We got Encanto. I count that. And we got West Side Story. But this is the first one that I saw.
We had more than
all
those,
of those,
by the way.
No, I know. No, I know. Those are the good ones.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
I said nothing else. But those are the good ones. Those are the ones that I was like, yes, yes, yes.
Well, because yes, this, yes. This is the one. This was the first or second movie I saw in theaters from the pandemic.
That was another reason I wanted to cover it, because this was, first of all, this was the first one I saw out of all the good ones in 2021. And it was the first one I saw out of all of them. And it was one of the first times I went to the theater to see a movie since COVID began. So I was highly emotional and I wept pretty much the whole movie because it's set in New York and I missed New York because this is what New York looked like before COVID. So at that point we were still moving through the pandemic. Like we were still kind of like, we're starting to get a semblance of normalcy here, but we're still not really sure what a post-COVID world is going to look like. And then there's the line where he goes, Washington Heights, say it so it doesn't disappear. And I'm like, oh my God, I hope it doesn't disappear. And I was like, so sad. I'm like crying at parts that my friend is looking over at me and is like, are you okay? Because like, obviously moments like Abuela's death, like that's a scene you could cry during, but like say it so it doesn't disappear doesn't trigger people maybe.
So
but to me, because of the timing, I was like, oh my God, I hope it doesn't disappear. I miss the streets being lively with people like this. Like, so it was like nostalgia for a time before COVID, which is a weird thing to think about because nostalgia, you usually think like, oh, childhood. But it's like there is now pre-pandemic and post-pandemic. And it's like I am nostalgic for, I think we all are nostalgic for the way things were, but it's such a recent time to be nostalgic for. So it's interesting. And I was like, I need to cover the episode. And then I saw that you covered the episode and I was like, oh man. And I was bummed. But then I like listened to Melody's episode and I re-listened to it today actually. And I'm like, no, this was a good choice for her to cover this first, because once, like, she was, first of all, she was in it. Like,
Yeah,
she was
yeah, yeah.
in
Oh,
this
yeah.
show. So she has context for the show that I have never had and probably will never have, because I've never seen it on Broadway and I will never be in this show for obvious reasons.
Right.
So it was like, in the context of that, it makes sense for her to have covered it. Also, she's Ecuadorian, so like she relates to these characters culturally in other ways that like I don't know. So it was really enlightening and it was interesting to listen to her explain some of the customs and how realistic like the party was, the dinner party, and also the changes that were made between stage and screen, because I have the soundtrack as like a point of reference.
Right. And the cast album and the cast album of the original cast as another point of
And that's
reference
it.
that and right. 'Cause I
The
also
only
haven't I still haven't seen it live, I mean. I've
I've
only
seen
seen the
a
movie.
couple. I've seen like some community theater productions and they were good, but it was kind of back before we were, and I'm not going to call any specific theaters out because it was before we were casting people of color like entirely.
Oh,
And this is,
I've seen that one video of the high school doing in the
Oh
whites.
my, In the Whites is an abomination. I'm so sorry. I hope y'all are okay. You were children, you didn't know, but like, what the hell? Like,
But
an adult cast that, so that's their fault.
an adult picked that.
An
So
adult
watch.
decided on
So
that.
now, so I'm assuming I'm going to make a bold assumption that you've seen this a couple of times in between the initial watch and now.
I've
Maybe.
watched it 27 times.
Great. Not that you're counting or anything. So, do you still get emotional during
Yes.
this? Because I could still say that I ugly cry during Paciencia Fe into Alabanza.
Oh, 100%. And like different parts of it will hit me too. Like from the get-go, like Abuela being in bed and like watching her loved ones as she is slowly passing away, that makes me cry. Daniela, like they're all singing Alabanza outside, and then Daniela stands up, but she's like a little shaky. And I don't know if that was a choice that Daphne Rubin Vega made or what, but like, or maybe it was just raw emotion. But the way she stands up, that will get me. Anthony Ramos, that will get me. But like, different parts of that whole sequence will get me
But
crying. I cried today because of her standing up again. Like, it rotates.
I also got a little teary. I don't understand this. Maybe you can help me.
Sure.
And I'm sad to admit this.
Oh no.
I got a little teary at the end of 96,000 when it's a culmination
Okay.
of all of it, where everybody's singing on top
Yeah.
of each other, they're doing, and I'm
Yes.
like, why am I getting so much? Maybe I'm still feeling the same emotions from like seeing it in theaters and
Yes.
having that, but I don't know, because now I'm at home watching it on my laptop and
Well, it's your classic Lin-Manuel Miranda layered vocals is what I call, like he does that in everything. Like he does that in Hamilton with Nonstop. He does that in We Don't Talk About Bruno. He does that also in the blackout scene later. Like it's got the layered vocals and everybody's stories are kind of converging and coming together. And it's organized chaos because you feel like it's chaos, which is why your heart rate goes up and you're like, oh my God, so much chaos. But if you listen to like very, very closely, it's very intricately like deliberate. Like, and
And
it's like that on purpose.
they're also doing fire choreography. Yes, I'm
Oh
saying
my
fire
God.
like I'm a Gen Zer.
No, it slaps like a Gen Zer would say. Like, and they literally do slap the water, so it does slap. Like
Yeah.
96,000, easily my favorite part of the movie. And like we're so blessed to have the entire movie because like it's like Cats happened and then we had the first year of quarantine to realize like that was a nightmare. And then
Well,
you
I mean,
watch In the Heights. And it was like we're waking up to a pleasant morning after the nightmare that was Cats.
I want to shout out Christopher Scott again. He is the choreographer
Oh
for
my
this.
God. Thank you, Christopher.
And like
You are a gift.
we since the first chance of this, I've done Zombies that he also choreographed, and seeing the two, I'm like,
Yes.
you definitely were able to do more with this one.
Should I watch Zombies? Because I've kind of fallen off the bandwagon of the DComs, but if the choreography is like this, I might have to.
What's fascinating, all right. Hopefully the listeners don't mind if I go into zombies for a hot second. What's fascinating about
Spoilers.
what's fascinating oh no, I did it already as an episode as
Okay.
episodes, all three of them. What's fascinating though about that is that every movie, all three movies, has a different choreographer, but it still feels in the same dance world. So I will
Interesting.
say watch all three of them. Don't just watch one of them. Watch all three of them to get the
Do you have a
full
favorite?
three.
Three. Oh, that's
Three.
like High School Musical three for me.
But with this one, I also started crying again at the finale when, because I'm like, it's over, it's so emotional, he stayed. And that one I understood. But still, at the end of 96,000, I was like, why, what's happening here? What's going on?
The I also cry like the minute that Lynn steps up on the beach and starts singing the word piragua, I'm done till the end. Like I'm just sobbing. There is something about that man that disarms me. Like this man has such a sweet presence, he could cure cancer by just smiling at you.
Was there something though that we missed in the first chance that you want to like elaborate on?
I definitely wouldn't say missed because like I said, like Melody has like a really cool lens to view this from as someone who can culturally relate to the characters, but also someone who has performed in this show. So it's not even that things were left out. I was just viewing it from like a completely different lens. Like she's viewing it from literal life experience. I'm viewing it from the
As a
lens
New
of a musical
Yorker
theater,
and
New
yeah.
Yorker film nerd. But there's a lot, it's so good. There's something for everybody in this movie.
Can I just say that while crying during Paciencia y Fe, I also got very angry at New York, because at the end of Paciencia y Fe, when she's at the 191 tunnel, for those of you who don't know, at the 191 tunnel is used at the end, where it's like typical New York, where it's you see the culture clash of like all the graffiti, and it is art. It is art. And then between then and now, they fucked up and painted over all of that and painted some really lame and boring art on there. It's
If it's a mural of the Eras Tour, I will riot.
not. It should be, but
No, it
like,
should not. It should stay as it is, John.
well, so what it's this weird stagnant pattern
Yeah.
where it's like there's the it's broken up into sections where like there's one pattern in a section and then another pattern and then another pattern. But like, I was down there not that long ago and somebody started graffitiing on it. So I was like,
Good.
you go, Glen Coco.
Four for you, Glenn Coco. This is a second Mean Girls reference.
You're welcome, everyone.
Graffiti
But
Pete is real.
so while crying, I then was also just like, this place, fuck you.
Fuck this. That means you're a real New Yorker though, because you're in an abusive love-hate relationship with the city. You're like, fuck you. Also, I love you. Please stay. That's we all have to be a little insane to live here. Like there's no doubt. But like it's funny too that you mentioned how Paciencia y Fe was art, because when I first saw it, I thought this entire sequence was gorgeous. I'm like, oh my God, like the light goes out and then they come back up and everybody's in period wear and everybody's dancing, and then like she goes through the tunnel, and then like as I see like her silhouette with like the light and she's going towards the light, I'm like sobbing, but then like art is subjective because I showed this sequence to Patricia, my roommate, you know, Patricia.
I know her.
And she goes, oh my God, those dancers are barefoot on the subway. That's disgusting. Like she is not in the fantasy of it because she's taken out of it because of bare feet on the subway. And I'm like, no, but it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And then she's walking into the light at the end of the tunnel and I'm like, see? And she goes, Ashley, it's just not for me. Like it's the pathway to heaven. Yeah. She said, if the pathway to heaven is through the subway, I don't even want to go. Like,
You're missing the point, Patricia.
it made me laugh so hard.
But
It
like
didn't
all
ruin it for me. I still love it. Although there is like a perfectly good ramp next to the stairs that Abuela was already struggling to like walk, and I'm like, why didn't she take the ramp? She went up the stairs to heaven. There was like a ramp and then a staircase, and she took the stairs. Is it like a metaphor for like I've taken the hard way through life and I'm gonna continue till the last moment? Or is it just like John Chu didn't think, oh, there's a perfectly good ramp next to these stairs. Why don't we have the elderly woman who's dying go up them? Like,
No, I like your read on the first one. And
yeah,
I
no,
think
I,
that's
she's
what,
like,
because after, because you're listening to her backstory throughout this whole song, basically. And what kills me is that one dancer that leads her from one subway car to another, but then turns.
Oh my God, I just got chills.
But I'm like, that is a good visual representation of her life without harping on it with words. I also love the match cut that happens when there's that one beam of light that looks like a pole that she
Yes,
grabs,
oh
and
my
then she
God.
grabs. It's so good.
This movie is like restored my faith in movie musicals. Like, I kid you, it's moments like this that I was like, yes, this is what it should be. Like, I was so happy.
So there is a question that I didn't think of the la on the first chance, and you as a musical theater person slash New Yorker, I hope maybe we can speculate, because it's pure speculation. So with Carnaval de Barrio, like Daniela is the one who's like trying to lift everyone's spirits because Abuela's died has died at this point. Do you think that this is solidifying Daniela as the next matriarch?
Ooh, but is she leaving?
Well, so
Like,
here's the here's my confusion too about that. Is she leaving, or is just her salon leaving?
that's a question that I don't know if the movie answered.
It never does. It seems like both are leaving.
That's what I
But
thought.
the thing is that I think the salon is a safe space for
It's a
them.
haven.
Yes. 'Cause I mean, I personally haven't witnessed the familial feelings that this movie is saying that New York has. I believe they're out there. I just haven't experienced it. So I don't, I mean, the only thing I've experienced is going into some bodegas and they know me because I'm there all the time.
That's an example though. Like,
Yeah,
that's family.
but like this, in this one, they all hang out at Abuela's house. Abuela is, well, I mean, it's in the text that she is everyone's grandmother. She is. She is the matriarch. She's called the matriarch. She's this. She's so I'm like, I haven't experienced like going like the salon, safe space. I've experienced the bodega side, which, by the way, I noticed this time around. Where's the grill? Why
Hiding.
is there no grill in this bodega?
It's behind the crab that Sonny made at the end. He's like, I made the crab to cover up the grill that we've never shown.
Because I was just like, there's no grill. There should be a grill. Where is there no grill? I mean, I guess that means that they then have to cast somebody to play the line cook or something, and they didn't want to do that.
It could be in the back. I mean, that's not like bodegas traditionally you see the grill, but like maybe it's like a it's in the back.
I don't know. I was like, where is it, guys? Come on. Come on.
All I
Details.
know, details. Daphne Rubin Vega is a fucking queen. Like, I would convert to the religion of whatever church she's running. I would move to the Bronx just so I could hang out at Daniela's new salon location. Like, I just want to hang out with Daniela. I think she's great. But
She,
I
yeah.
like the idea of her being the next matriarch. Like, I hope for the sake of that theory, she was physically staying there and it was just her job and she's got like a longer commute. But
Well, because I mean, even prior to Abuela's death, it seemed like in this found family, there's Abuela Claudia. Then Daniela is like an aunt to everyone. She's not yet grandma. She's not yet that the matriarch, but she's also very well respected. And like they have moments together where, it's like she's Abuela's daughter or something. So that's what made me that's where my mind was, especially with her in Carnival being like, because like getting everyone's spirits up and being like, yes, Claudia is dead. Yes, there's a heat wave going on. Yes, all of these things, but we need to celebrate life.
Well, that goes along with the Sueñito, like the dream storyline, because like he keeps saying Sueñito, Sueñito, like the whole time, and it's a little dream. It's like a dream that you have. Everybody, all the characters have dreams. Like he wants to open his business. Vanessa wants to go into fashion. Nina wants to find a community. Everybody has a dream, down to the Pirigüero, played by Lin-Manuel. And then there's like the dreamer's storyline of the immigration parts of the movie with the literal word dream in it. So I think the parallels of Sueñito and dreamers was definitely deliberate and
Oh
definitely
yeah, I love that.
intentional.
I love that they, because even re-listening, I forgot that that was the change, like a major change in it. And I love that they did that. It made it a little more modern.
Topical, relevant today, but it didn't feel forced. Like it didn't feel like it's like, and now
No.
we're gonna be woke and like today this is an issue. Like this has been an issue for a long time, and I think it was handled very well because I feel like folks like myself, even I'll admit it, who are ignorant to how immigration really works because I was born here. Like I don't know all the logistics of it all, but I feel like people who are ignorant and rude about it are like, well, if you want to live here, just like get papers. And it's like characters like Sonny came here when he was really young. He didn't really have a choice. He didn't know what was going on. And now he's here and he's a growing young man and he wants to go to college and like
And
make a life for himself.
we see that his dad is a deadbeat,
And he
and probably
can't.
a lazy motherfucker that didn't think about getting papers for his son.
And people don't realize that there are folks who are brought into this country illegally that then have to deal with the consequences of that without having had a say in it. So it's like, it's really, I like that they included that because Sonny's just like a cute teenager. Like he wants to go to college and he can't because of the restrictions and the red tape rules. So I thought that that was a really good way to kind of weave that in without being like, immigration is hard. It's just like, no, this is an innocent person
And I feel
who
like,
has dreams like everyone else, and like he can't have them because of A, B, or C. So like I think the line that Usnavi has when he says, with patience and faith, we remain unafraid, speaks to the fact that like all of them have dreams, but life doesn't always go as they plan. Like every single dream that is mentioned from the beginning of the movie is a little bit different when they've achieved the dream by the end, because life doesn't always go as we plan, but like Daniela says, we have to embrace who we are and what we have. And like, yes, like the power is out. Our matriarch died. This is sucky. It's gonna suck. Things suck sometimes, but we can't give up and we have to embrace what we have and move forward, even if our dreams change a little bit of shape. Don't give up and stay true to who you are.
and I feel
You
like,
know?
and I don't think Melody and I talked about this in the first chance. I feel like they also wrote Sonny to be younger than in the stage show.
I can't speak to that because I've never seen the
Well,
stage show, but
this is just me also speculating. So, I mean, people who know the socials, I'll say it
let us
again at the later.
know.
Let us know if you know, because I still am very confused as to like when this is supposed to take place, how old these characters are, because really the only one that we can strongly guess is Nina.
Like 1920.
Yeah, and speaking of her, in Breathe, there's that moment where everyone is looking at her on the streets and
It's
everything.
terrifying. It made me
But
jump.
I had a thought, and I was like, I don't know if everyone is pressuring her to go to college or if it's all in her head. Because the interactions that are happening, her dad is pressuring her, which we
For sure.
that's for sure. But that's because it's a to go off your dream monologue that you just had, like it's his dream for her to have a better life than what he had and everything. And I feel like a lot of people who are checking in with her about college also want her to have a better life, but like her be like feeling like everyone will be disappointed of her leaving, I think that might be what's in her head because she has a good fucking reason to want to leave.
I don't blame her at, you guys did talk about this in the
We talked about
original.
that, but we didn't talk about if they are pressuring her, if the community is pressuring her to go to college, or if it's just like her dad and maybe like one other person.
I think the dad definitely is the main pressure point here, but I think there's an expectation from the community rather than like a forceful, it's like a passive pressure, whereas dad is very actively like, you need to do this, you need to do this because I didn't do it and you're so smart and you need to do this. Whereas the community is just like, oh my God, you're amazing, you're the best one, you're gonna do great. But she, because of all the pressure from her dad, maybe internalizing that pressure. So mere expectation becomes pressure that she's feeling. And I think there is some gravity to like the idea that there is somewhat some of the pressures in her head, and that is reflected with baby Nina, who's not a baby, but she's just like a child. The child motif that kind of Barbie, she's from Barbie. Ariana Greenblatt is little girl from Barbie. Yeah, America
The
Ferrera's daughter
daughter?
from Barbie. Yeah,
Oh,
that's her.
shit.
And I was like, oh my God, she looks the same. She's looked the same forever. She's gonna be an ageless wonder. But baby Nina is from Barbie. She's everywhere. And I do think that the inner child motif is a really cool touch. That's obviously in her head, unless her ghost of herself is like haunting herself Hill House style. But I don't think that that's what they're going for. I don't think
Well,
John Chu.
is it that it's the ghost of her is representing the expectation, or is it that she's just being haunted by her childhood and like reliving things, being like, oh, what do I want?
Well, it's the expectation is haunting her.
Yeah, but also, I feel like, and they don't actually say this, but they kind of allude to it. I feel like Nina doesn't know what she wants.
Yeah, she's still figuring that out.
So and she and like she's no dummy. She sees that her dad sold the business or half the business for her and everything. And she's like, I mean, there is that moment with her and Benny where he's like, you had to move across the country and everything. Even though you got into all the great schools here. I feel like everything could have been fixed if she not had a sassy gay friend, but if she was like, hey, dad, let's see maybe about state school options or cheaper school options. 'Cause, like, I'm still going to college, but, like, I don't want you to ruin your, like, lose your business
Could
for
you
that.
imagine that? Like the sassy gay friend. Like, this is Nina. She just dropped out of college. This fate could have been avoided if she had a sassy gay friend. And then he comes in and goes, What are you doing? Your room got searched. Hey, that's okay. Go back to school. Like,
Oh.
that was terrible, though. And that was something that I do think was added for the movie. Like, all of
No,
the
yeah, it was.
racism that she experienced at school. And that's just horrible. Like, can you imagine? Like, there's no reason
Because
for them to search your room.
Melody even said that in the show she flunks out or she's failing. But in here, at least they're making it more about who these people are and things that people of color go through or can go through that not a lot of people go through.
And it's a musical, so it's that spoonful of sugar that makes the medicine go down, because there's some really hard, heavy hitting topics in here, like in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, where it's like, how do we address these in a way that's accessible for a wide array of people in the audience so that they can kind of understand it without feeling like it's forced? And I feel like this is a really great way to introduce a lot of these serious topics.
I did think it was interesting with Vanessa. I actually registered it this time around. When she goes to the agent, what is she?
Yep. She's like a real estate broker or
A real
something,
estate
and she's
broker.
like, hey, and then a white couple comes in and
Yes.
immediately she, oh, I noticed that the first time and I was like, oh, yeah, we're doing this.
But
But like,
like,
that's something that like it went over your head. It could
it
go
did.
over like because we're so accustomed to that being whatever, but like it's viewing it
I
from
think I justified it because she does say that she doesn't have the finances. The broker says that Vanessa doesn't have the finances, which is a
It's a
issue.
thing, but it's a classism as it relates to racism issue as well.
So I think
So like,
my brain prior to today justified that being like, okay, so it's just that she doesn't have the funds, which I mean, do we want to talk about apartment prices in New York?
we do not. My rent just went up.
Let's
I'm sad.
not. But like, it's ridiculous to live here,
Yeah.
and the fact even her being like, you need somebody that has 40 times the amount. I threw up. It's gross.
I love that meme that's like a bathroom that looks like the bathroom from Saw, but like above the tub is a loft bed and it says $2,000 a month, 5 credit checks, your
First
social
last security
security
deposit.
number, like your firstborn's blood.
God.
And a broker fee, like
And a broker fee. So, what do you have anything that you want to talk about?
oh, I have so many things that I want to talk about. I love this
Well,
movie so much.
where are the struggling actors?
I
There are
mean,
struggling.
I'll quote a Riverdale episode, a different coat of paint for a different wall. Like,
Ha!
that's I, as much as well, they're in Rent, that's where they are. They're in a different
You're
story.
right. They're in the Lower East Side
They're in the
instead.
Lower East Side. They're like way downtown from the I mean, Vanessa, a crossover episode with the Rent cast, maybe. But she designs clothes for Angel. No. It's funny though, to bring that up because I was gonna say that the New York City setting of this movie works for me in ways that hasn't in other NYC set movies, especially movie musicals like Rent. Because I think what I love about I hands down will always prefer the stage version of Rent to the movie. And you would think like you got most of the original cast, like you're set up for success, we're on board. But there's just something about the stage that is super cool because it's industrial. And it's like kind of like found objects that make the set, and it leaves you to kind of suspend your disbelief and fill in the blanks in your head. Whereas, like, setting the movie in New York City makes it just kind of sadder and it's like more accurate as to the place that they'd be, but it's less magical because they're all dying and it's cold out. And that's like.
The one scene that took me out was the club. So I was like, that doesn't exist in New York.
Well, that's another thing that Patricia said. She was like, I wish that dancing was that fun in New York instead of like people trying to kiss you that you don't want to kiss. I'm
Or
like,
you're like sardines in a
yeah.
packed club. I was like, this is LA. This isn't New York.
But like this movie was magical because of the dancing and the editing, and I felt like it was the perfect blend of like that fantasy. Like, we talk sometimes in other episodes about the fantasy. I just want to be in the fantasy. And there's
Yeah.
definitely a lot of that, but it still also represents how culturally diverse the city is. So that's like the realism aspect. And that's what Washington Heights looks like too. So I'm glad that like they didn't like do a couple of exterior shots and then the rest of it was filmed on like a soundstage in LA. It was like, no, this is New York. This is what it
Right.
looks like. And I love that. And like, unpopular opinion, I prefer this to Hamilton. Like, Hamilton is great. I know it's like Lin-Manuel's baby, that's his pride and joy, but this one feels like a personal piece of his heart and like a love letter to like his home. And I like to say that Hamilton is real people under fictional circumstances, but In the Heights is fictional people under very real circumstances.
Oh, yeah. I
So
mean,
that's like why I like it, because like we can get attached to these characters, but not be like, well, that's problematic because that's different than it was in history. It's like these people don't exist, but they're going through very real things. So we're not, some of the backlash that Hamilton has gotten over like the recent years when it became more widely available, when it went on streaming, was like, but that's not how it was. And it's like, it's historical fiction. It's historical fiction, guys. This is not a biopic. This is historical fiction. So that's like where I feel like In the Heights is cool, because it's very real topics, but you're not going to get mad that this character wasn't like this in history, and like you get attached to the characters.
So you were saying that this movie is magical and this is the balance of fantasy and reality. And I like that. And what I like about this movie is that it's unapologetically a musical.
Yes, it's not afraid to go there.
It goes there and beyond. And it makes sense that John Chu is directing the Wicked movie, because like that is pure fantasy and pure and also pure musical. So you need to have these fantastical moments, like in When the Sun Goes Down, when they're dancing on the side
Oh
of the
my God.
building,
I still don't know.
96,000, when they're in the pools and everyone's every single background person in this movie is doing some sort of choreography.
We'll get to that in Sharps and Flats, because the background people are just as much a part of the story
And
as are the main cast.
it makes it fascinating because it's so New York. Instead of doing highly choreographed mo movement, New Yorkers are just moving. For those of you who've never been to New York, if you ever come, watch a sidewalk, like watch a crosswalk, and you'll see like the hurrying of everything. Like I mean, there's that one giant crosswalk in Tokyo that is a better representation of the busyness of a street, but like fuck, New York, like you can see everyone doing something, and it's and that's what this movie is, but also it's like we're a musical, deal with it.
It's kind of like a pop-up book of New York. Like, you know those kid books where you open them and
Yep.
like the whole book comes to life? That's what this movie is to me. Like, it's like this is just a slice of life, but it's magical and colorful and like edited to look like fantastical, but it does represent like what you're looking at in like a fun.
'Cause like we have an ensemble of actors, but then we have a macro ensemble of New Yorkers, and everyone's in this world. And I love that this and the West Side Story remake were filming at the same time, or one it filmed like one finished filming and then another came in and did the same area. And so they had to like switch it over
It's like,
from
okay, now let's go back a few decades.
let's go to the 60s, everyone. What else do you have that you want to talk about?
Fantasy sequences you mentioned in the original episode, how like awestruck you were when you saw like the fabric like falling in the
Oh
air
my
when she's
God,
doing It Won't Be
yes.
Long Now. Like shots like that. There's so many shots in this movie. There's either shots that take my breath away or shots that are an instant jolt of dopamine to my brain. Like opening number, dopamine. Melody talked about this scene where Usnavi's looking out the window of the bodega and you see the reflection of the people dancing in the street. And I can't find the camera. I have no idea how they edited that to not see the camera and the reflection, but that was like a gut punch. That took my breath away. I was
Oh,
like, oh my God. And then they start dancing and I'm like, dopamine.
that's all CGI, actually.
But it looks so good.
The way I'm going to view it is that Usnavi is standing, Anthony Ramos is standing in front of nothing. And then they film the dancers, and then through the power of editing, I think they layered them
It's
to
such
make
a
it look like the
brilliant shot.
dancers are in the reflection of the glass and he's on the other side of the glass.
I
That's my
love it.
speculation.
I love the shot that you liked with the fabric in the air and she's running away. Like, that's a part that randomly makes me cry sometimes,
Yeah, because
especially when I'm
it's
like fed up with work and I'm just like, oh my God, I just want to not do this. But I also said, it's the I want much more than this provincial life of in the Heights. Like the song that
yes.
Belle sings in Beauty and the Beast. But I will say that even though she wants to get the fuck out of there, but there's parts of Washington Heights that she still thinks fondly about that she talks about in the song. So it's not just like, fuck this town. She's like, oh, well, this is like where my friends like work and like they chat and like the train is kind of a lullaby to me. And that's kind of how I feel about Buffalo. Like, I'm never moving back there. But there are things that I do love about Buffalo that I think of fondly when I visit. But I'm definitely not moving back and getting married. And she.
Do we think that Vanessa represents the concept of growing up?
I think all of them do
But like
in different ways.
it well, we were just talking about Vanessa and my mind wandered a little bit while you were talking. Sorry about that. But like I was just like
You're
with
like.
her, I mean, so yeah, they all do in different ways, but like her, I feel like is just like I need to do the next chapter. And the next chapter is to get my own place and to go to fashion school or to be a fashion designer.
She's definitely growing up.
No wonder her and Usnavi end up together because like there's their wants are the same in a way. Like they both want to do the next step,
The next
which
chapter.
the next chapter, which
Yeah.
they think involves moving, but maybe it does for the future of that of them. Of their relationship.
I wonder if he moved downtown with her or if she moved back to the Heights.
What we are given in the movie with the finale, I think it's that they live in the Heights
I
because
would think so
of
too.
the ending. But who knows what the future holds for them? What else you got?
I just want to talk about how much I love Lin-Manuel Miranda and how people need to leave him alone for making cameos in his own work because he's delightful. And if he like makes a masterpiece, which like is what you call this movie, and that is accurate, and if you make a masterpiece and you want to be featured in the product, fucking let him, okay? Like, he has the right to be in his own work. And if he makes a little cameo in something, it's not like he insisted on being Usnavi again. He knew he had aged out of the role. And I love to see him in any capacity. Like, I agree with something that Melody said in the original episode. He paved his own way. He changed the course of musical theater. I am a fan, and I would love if Lynn showed up on my bus and then scralted and then left. Like, that would be great. So, like, why are we being, like, not we, us, but like, why are people like, ugh, Lin-Manuel is showing up at his own work again? I'm like, stop. He's allowed.
Yeah,
He's wonderful.
I mean to play devil's advocate for a hot second and talk about the people. I guess it's one of those things where it's like how there's all these cameos of things of like, you know, we're doing a remake of something, but we're gonna throw in an actor from the first one or something like that. And I think it's just a fatigue of that. Now, me personally, I don't give a shit.
I don't give a shit.
I don't give a shit. He was fine as the Piragua guy in this. His voice appearing in Moana, I didn't care about that really. I mean, it's not that I didn't care. It's just that I don't have a strong opinion one way or another about it. It's just like cool.
My strong opinion is protect Lin-Manuel because
but
being
like
nice
yes,
to him.
I agree with you that like he had the foresight, and I believe he honestly did not want to do a cameo in this. I believe
No.
that's what I read at first. So it's not
No.
that he is forcing himself upon it. It's just that
No.
they were like, it'd be cool. And he was like, no. And then they'd be like, you sure? And he went, fine. Like,
People don't read, so they don't know that he didn't want to be in it. Like,
at least in this one, he's such a minor character. It doesn't matter if he's in it or not.
I
Like,
love that he's in it.
honestly.
I love that he is in the post-credit scene. I love that Chris Jackson is Mr. Softee. Like, that's like little, there's like sprinkled in like musical theater inside jokes throughout the whole thing. And that's that for me. And I'm like, just let people enjoy things.
I also didn't clock Patrick Page the first few times as the dry cleaner or whatever, and
Oh,
seeing
yeah.
'cause like I feel like in this he's not using a deep registered voice,
No, he's just using his regular timbre.
which I mean
But
I know him now as the deep registered voice from like Schmigadoon season 2 and all that.
Hadestown?
I haven't seen it yet. I still haven't seen
But
it.
he's,
I
well,
know.
he's not in it anymore. But like, I think that was a very deep cut of a joke that I got. Where, do you know the story of like Hades and Persephone at least?
Kinda,
Or,
yeah. Yeah.
so like Hades' whole thing is like he kind of seduces slash convinces people into selling their souls to him for money. And then like they get something out of it initially. It's Faustian. It's like a
So wait,
deal with the devil.
was
So,
Hadestown out when this came out? Yeah.
oh
No? Yes.
yeah.
Okay.
So I think that's why they made that choice. It was like, ooh, who's a good person to put in this role? Like somebody who is trying to convince somebody to sell their business, but you'll get prosperous. Or like he was trying to tell Abuela to sell her little like dishcloths that are embroidered. He's like, but you can get a lot of money for this. And I'm like, is this a deep cut nod to the fact that he plays Hades and their bargains are Faustian? Because I think
Sure.
that that is so cool. Like,
John Chu, I know you're listening. You're still listening to
was that
the
you, John Chu?
podcast. Yeah, 'cause that I'm going to be bold and say that that is a character written for the movie.
Yeah, I don't think that that person was in the original.
No.
But like that's why it's like this guy is Hades. Like,
Yeah,
so
I mean I also read it as like he was probably another like Broadway friend of Lin-Manuel Miranda, and they were like, "You want to be in the movie?"
but it makes sense as to why he's there. Like I love
Yeah,
that it's he's like the Faustian bargain character.
because like you know we have Daphne Rubin Vega, which I believe she's another friend of Lin's, Olga Moredes, who
Meredith.
played Abuela. I know she played Abuela before.
She's the original Abuela
Oh, she is? Okay, so
from In the Heights, yeah.
I was like, I know she played it at least once. I can't remember when.
Yeah.
Because like he used her in other things, I feel like.
Encanto,
In
she's the
Kanto,
grandma.
yes.
The
Yeah.
singing voice of the grandma in
Right.
Encanto.
So there's a bunch of people in here who are potentially Lynn's Broadway friends.
But I'm
And
like okay with it because I'm
I
like, if
don't
it
care, yeah.
works, like, and if you don't like it, see a different film. Go see Cats.
Go
Like,
see. I love Cats though. It's so bad.
the movie or
The
Cats?
movie. The movie.
You
It's
love
so
the movie
bad.
Cats?
It's so bad. I fucking love it.
Is it like The Room for you? Like, is it how like The Room is like a cult classic and Cats is You're the Room?
The Cats movie is insane. I know it's insane. I still love it. It's like, I think I want to say it's kind of like my love of Voyage to the Rock Aliens. How about that?
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. Do you have one last point that you want to bring up?
I do. I'm so glad that you asked for one specifically. So, on the topic of minor characters that are purposeful, I read an article once that said that Graffiti Pete is maybe omniscient. And I think that that's really cool. Because he's, and the thing that the argument they made was like, he's always showing up at the pivotal moments. Like, he's at the beginning, he's in 96,000, like, spray painting the numbers on the towels. And that's probably why they have that, the thing where they're talking, they're like shooting the shit at the very beginning. They're like, this is what I would do with the money. And they have like illustrations coming out of their hands. That's all Graffiti Pete. And then helping Sunny set off the fireworks during the blackout so that people could see where they're going, helping Vanessa with her designs at the end, and helping like redecorate the bodega. Like everything that happens that is pivotal, he is present for, but he's not in much else. So it's like he's this catalyst that's like kind of like a guardian angel of the heights in a way, but with graffiti. And I like to think that if Usnavi tells the story, he illustrates the story. So I really love his character so much.
How do you feel that this is a giant flashback?
How do I feel about it?
Yeah.
I'm
'Cause
okay with it.
I from what Melody and I talked about in the first chance, it feels like the show is just present. It's
Yeah.
the show. And like maybe again I haven't seen it, but maybe Usnavi breaks the fourth wall and talk and
I
narrates
think
to the
he's talking to the
audience
audience.
at points.
In the
So,
Whites showed me
oh okay.
that.
So he does. Oh yeah, wait, yeah,
Yeah.
you've seen it. Yeah, so he does
Yeah.
talk to the
Yeah.
audience at points and narrate.
Yeah.
So I understand that that was what they were doing with the cutaways to the present, which is the future, I guess, of the whatever. But I don't know. There were moments that I was just like, I did it. We didn't need to cut away back to the kids. I
No,
did.
there's definitely unnecessary moments of that, but I think overall is like
I
him
want to go.
telling them a story. I wish it was just his daughter, but not really. No, the kids were cute. I don't know.
I
I don't
want to
know.
go back now and pay attention. Okay, so this is a challenge for you, Ashley, myself, John, and you, the listener. Let's go back and rewatch the movie and pay attention to the background people when we are in the cutaway moments
In the beach.
on the beach. Yeah. Because I know there are background people. I see
Yeah,
them.
I've seen them.
Are they the ensemble cast, though?
They're out of focus.
Well, there is that moment right before the finale when we jump to what is now the present, and Anthony Ramos now has the goatee, the Usnavi goatee that is an Easter egg and everything. But
Goatee
before
Easter
it.
egg.
But before that happens, they cut away to the beach, and it's the on like our cast is there, wearing specific costumes. So now I'm just like, okay, are they? I think it'd be fucking cool if the people in the background of the beach scenes were our cast, were the cast. I don't know though. But if somebody knows, the socials, we'll sell the socials in a bit, but
Yeah.
answer the question. I think it's time for Sharp and Flat. You think it's time
I
for
think so
Sharp and
too.
Flat? Let's get into Sharp and Flat, shall
Yeah.
we?
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. If we didn't like it, it's flat. And because this is a second chance, we're going to see if John agrees with his former sharps and flats.
I don't know what that was.
I know what that was. Ashley, the floor is yours. Start with whatever you want. Go.
Let's do flats so that we can end on a high note. I've said that before. I'm
I
sorry.
say it every time.
Reusing jokes. If it ain't Baroque, don't fix it. It's like how Lin-Manuel Miranda uses actors over again. It works. Let's start with flats. Let me preface this with the fact that Marissa Barrera does like a really, really great job overall as Vanessa. Like, I like her Vanessa a lot. I'm not gonna flat Vanessa because I think overall she's really, really great. I wish she had a little bit more edge because Melody made a really interesting point the first time you guys talked about this, and it was that Vanessa and Nina were too similar in this version. Like, Vanessa was kind of softer. Now, as a standalone performance, it's a totally valid interpretation of the character. And I felt for her, like once she sang her song and she was singing about getting away and starting a new life and like how she's longing to get out, it's her I Want song. Like I really felt for her. She made me cry many times throughout the movie. So I love her, but I am gonna flat like
The
maybe
writing of
it's
her.
directing or writing. Specifically on her entrance. Like, I wish that her entrance had a lot of pow that it did not have. So, like,
With the fishnets?
no. Oh, I don't even remember what her legs looked like, but she
She
was just
was
like.
she's wearing the ripped jeans, and she's got fishnets on. How can you not? How does nobody see this?
Because I was
You
looking at her face, not looking very angry.
Oh,
And
well.
she's like, she's supposed to be begging for this apartment. She's supposed to be like, no, Mr. Johnson, I got the security deposit. And so she's
Oh, I
like,
see.
no, I got it. Like, and I'm like, no, why did we do that? But I know she's capable of being angry because she's angry in other parts of the movie. So I'm like, I wish that they would have directed her to do that. I'm not going to blame Melissa. I think she's fully capable and lovely for most of the movie. So I'm going to blame John Chu for this. Sorry, John.
Okay.
So just give her a little bit more edge. I'm going to fret the heads in the salon that move by themselves.
How dare you?
Not the people's heads, when the people do the little like group
No, I
heads
know
up.
what you're talking, the mannequin head. I fucking love those.
If I wanted to have nightmares, John, I'd watch Cats again.
You go watch Cats again. They are funny. They punctuate the jokes. How dare you?
It scared the shit out of me.
Okay.
I'm going to flat cutting Sunrise. I know that the movie was about 2.5 hours long, and Benny and Nina already have a couple of duets, but I want to see their afterglow moment. John Chu, you could have still done a PG-13 afterglow moment. Come on now. Because they talk about during Carnival de Barrio the fact that they went for a roll in the hay. I want to see the roll in the hay. So put that scene back in and put Sunrise back in because I'm lonely and I want to watch two hot people be hot together. Thank you. This whole
Oh my
cast is
God.
very sexy. Holy shit. But like, I love them.
Yeah.
So I'm mad that they cut that. I think out of all the things that they cut, I can see why they did. I just didn't like that they did.
Okay.
But on the topic of Nina, my last flat is every time Nina says, "Let me listen to my block."
I still.
Again, not her fault. I doubt that the actor chose to do that. That is a writing thing. I'm okay if she actually listens to her block. Like if she goes, "Hey, Benny, shh," and then she just like breathes
So
and closes her eyes.
are you
But don't
flatting her repeating the line, "Let me listen to my
listen to my
block,"
block. It
not the
made me
actual
uncomfortable.
act of
Yeah.
listening to the block?
Like, do it. Don't tell me you're gonna do it.
Yeah. I mean, say it the first time, but then do what you were, but then do what you said. Just be like, "Man, shh, I just need a minute."
Yeah, that's infinitely better, but like it happens multiple times. She goes, "Let me listen to my block."
I feel
And I'm
like
like,
I understand. I agree with you. I just feel like you get one. You get one time to say that, not three
yeah. But
or
I love
four.
Leslie Grace. Like I love Melissa Barrera too. Like I feel bad. I think neither of the things that I have flatted specific characters for are the actor's fault, to be
No,
clear.
no.
Because
Can't
I
blame the
think they both
actor.
did a stellar job
Yeah.
and I love them both and they both made me cry
All right, sharps,
because
let's
they both
go.
did. Okay. Oh, that's right. I get to do my sharps.
Yes, it's all
Because
you,
it's a
baby.
I'm not used to doing this in a row. This is different.
Oh,
Sharp to Anthony Ramos for being an excellent Usnavi. Like, I agree with Melody on all accounts. Like, he honored the essence of the original character while still making it his own. He's charming. He's sweet. Some people didn't think he was dorky enough, but I liked that he was suave. Except for moments when he was in scenes with Vanessa, because I think the juxtaposition of like, "Hey, I know this neighborhood. I don't know how to hold a beer." Like, I liked that because it was just like, "Oh, she really disarms him with how hot she is and how much he loves her." Like, I personally loved their dynamic. I loved how dorky he was. So that's sharp number one for sure. Sharp number two is the couple chemistry. Like, I was rooting for all of the couples. Benny and Nina are sexy and cute. Usnavi and Vanessa are awkward and cute. Sunny and Usnavi are not a romantic couple, but I just really like the pairing of them together. Like, I like when he's playing wingman for
well,
him. I think it's so funny.
what you're saying is more the dynamics of the
The
relationships rather
pairings.
than, yeah, rather than the sexual tension or anything like that.
No. Yeah, like Benny and Nina, yes. Usnavi and Vanessa, yes. But then also the pairing, like there's chemistry with pairings that are not romantic. And I think I definitely believed that like Usnavi and Sunny were cousins and that he was like the big cousin looking out for the little cousin. But I think he does that so much that the moments when Sunny tries to like return the favor, it's super awkward, but it's super funny. And there's like,
I think I'm wrong in the first chance, by the way, where I said that Daniela and Carla, I thought were in a relationship because of what's in
I
the
think they
opening.
are. I think they are.
Were they in bed together in the opening?
Yes, they were. Yes, they were. She leans over and kisses her on the cheek.
Okay, so I was
Yep.
right.
They're definitely together.
No, but
They're super queer coded.
I mean that re-listening to it, and I didn't really pay attention to that moment this time around, but I was like, am I right?
No, you are. I think the reason they didn't make it more blatant is because in the stage version, I don't think that's a thing.
They're
So
supposed
I
to just
think
be
that was
friends,
just
yeah.
like a little treat
Okay.
for us. But yes, I love when Sunny wingmans for Usnavi, and there's like a particular scene that cracks me up every time where he gets like the soft on his shirt and Sunny's trying to make him look cooler, and he goes, "I've been meaning to ask, would a lady like yourself will be doing this weekend?" And he's trying to sound cool and he just does not, but that is infinitely cuter to me because he's like really he's like, "This is my bro," but he's a child, so it's really funny. And she's charmed too because she like eats it up. She's like, "Well, tell your cousin that I'm gonna go dancing and you can keep this tide to go, lol, bye. I'm gonna sharp Corey Hawkins and Stephanie Beatrice for being the funniest cast members in my opinion." There's two specific moments that I love where Benny is in the club with Usnavi and he's like, "Why are you letting her dance with people? That's dumb." And then you see her dancing with other guys and he has a cherry in his mouth and he's like flicking it against his mouth. Like, I don't know why he's doing that, but it got me a little pregnant, a little.
Is he
No,
like
it's like
this?
in his
Oh, it's
mouth.
in his mouth. Okay. It's not like he's
And
tapping his lips. He's just
he's like
like
sucking on it and going, "Oh shit, like, kid, this is what happens when you let her dance with other people. She asked you to dance. This is not her fault. You said go ahead." Like,
then Stephanie Beatrice.
and then Stephanie, there's a moment where she knocks over the bingo board in the dark because she loses it. She goes, "Ah!" Like, her facial expression is great. And I think, I wish that there was more Carla in the movie because I love Stephanie. I think she's so
Yes.
funny. But I love these two, so sharps to them for being just hilarious in but in their own ways. Like, I don't think this was a direction. I think this was the actors just kind of,
An actor choice.
yeah, just making choices, and I loved that. I am going to give a sharp to 96,000 just as a whole. It makes my heart rate go up. I feel like I'm going to explode from the dopamine. Specifically the underwater shot, like it goes under the water and you see people like jumping and the audio is kind of like watery and bloop, 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 and then it comes back up and everybody at the same time is dancing in unison and splash dancing in the pool. And that just like my soul left my body and it tries to leave my body every time I watch it because it craves the first time. I love that scene. 96,000 sharps to 96,000.
I
I
hate
also
you.
No, I read somewhere though that it was thunderstorming that day. So like kudos to like editing for the color correction in
And
the
no one
sky.
dying.
No one to end the cast, like they were like, "Yeah, we were freezing because the water was cold because it was raining." So like in between takes, we were like huddled in towels and it's like, "Okay, action," and you gotta put them back in the pool. So like that's just kudos for not only a job well done in like thunderstorms, but also just it slapped, as Gen Z would
Let's
say. It
say
slapped. It slapped.
any
And then
other
my
sharps? One
final
last.
sharp, yeah, final sharp is the extras. They seem like real people and are just as much a part of the storytelling. They're not just set dressing and they're all giving like 110%, but they're not upstaging the cast. And that is
Right.
like a very fine line to toe, and they do it. And you touched on this earlier, and also in the original episode, you had said you appreciated the biodiversity. So I'm gonna do a thing that I'm calling adding another sharp to the key signature, where I yes and your original sharp for not only body diversity, but also age diversity. because it looks like Washington Heights. You've got children, you've got elderly people, and then you've got everybody in between. And that is a super, super duper strength.
And that's highlighted even further in Carnaval de Barrio when they're doing, I'm not sure if they're doing dances of the different countries and they break down the different countries, but you get to see the age diversity in every group, which I really liked. So because this is a second chance, do I agree with my former sharps and flats?
Yes.
I have new ones from this from this take.
Okay.
I have zero new flats.
Good.
I'm still I strongly agree with my last flat, and that's a blanket flat for a lot of these streamers, where when somebody's speaking another language in the closed captioning, they just say speaks language. They don't spell it out for you.
Oh my god, the whole point of having Spanish in this movie, like, intermittently with the English, is to normalize the fact that, like, people speak Spanish, and you're not gonna go and get somebody who could do that?
But I have new naturals.
Okay.
I'm naturaling the cutaways.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't like it, but I don't hate it.
I don't hate it.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. And then also, this bothers me because New York is another character in this movie and in the show. I'm going to flat. This is so dumb. And I harped on it in the first chance. I'm going to flat in When You're Home, Nina talks about the 9 train because the 9 train hasn't existed ever in her life.
Yeah, what year is this in? Like, I still...
Right? Right. There's this no is clearly... This is clearly the 2010s. There was no 9 train in the 2010s. Mm-hmm. And as a fellow New Yorker, I don't know how you felt about it, but did you kind of just go, what?
Yeah, I was like, was there a 9 train? Did I do a Mandela effect time hop right now? Like,
the 1 ended up taking over for the 9 train because the 9 train was also a local, but I think it was kind of like the Q in a way, where the Q only goes a certain route, but bleeds into the yellow line itself. So I think the 9 must have been the northern part of the 1 line train. To go New York for a hot second.
I know what you're talking about, but like, this sounds crazy to people who don't know. And like, that just like goes to show, like, one of my philosophies are that the MTA is like the worst scavenger hunt ever made.
There for the longest time at Madison Square Garden, there was a sign for the 1239.
What color was it?
It was all red.
The 9 was a red line?
The 9 was a red line, yeah.
Interesting that they skipped ahead in numbers.
I blame the IRT. Anyway, I have new sharps. So I sharped the mannequin heads because they are so fucking hilarious.
I mean...
The slow turn that it does when it's like, what did you just say, Nina?
I can appreciate it the way that, no, I'm not going to make this joke. Never mind.
Okay, great.
I can appreciate it, but it's not for me.
I also sharped, the whole music being You'll Be Back, because that is just hilarious. And I am sharping the choreography as a whole, just like everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And isn't it funny, too, that You'll Be Back is like exactly what hold music means, like they'll be back.
Oh, shit. I didn't even think of it that way. I just thought it was, again, another, like, Easter egg-y moment.
Well, it's like, the regular moment and then the deep cut. So, like, You'll Be Back is a fun ha-ha Hamilton nod, but then it's like, well, they will be back, because that's hold music. Same with Patrick Page. It's like, oh, ha-ha, I know him. He's Broadway. Deep cut is he's Hades. And he's trying to bargain with people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Would you add any of those songs to your life's playlist?
All of them.
Great.
All of them.
What did I say last time? Oh, yeah. I said the same thing. All of it.
I like to put it on at the gym from start to finish, and then when I'm done with the album, I'm done with my workout.
I mean, I do have some favorites that
Oh, I do too.
I listen to. I don't honestly, I don't think I can listen to Paciencia Ife by itself without crying.
Oh, no, I've listened to it on the elliptical, and when like the tempo picks up, I'm like, paciencia, like. And everybody thinks I'm probably listening to something totally different because they can't see what I'm listening to, but I'm listening to a grandmother die and I'm doing so well with my cardio. Thanks, Abuela.
And on that note, Ashley, we're done with the episode. Welcome to
She's
Second
fine.
Chance.
Yay! Thank you for having me.
So, what do you have to plug or promote?
So I am a stand-up comedian. And you can find me on Instagram at Schleebalee. That's Schleebalee. So that's my Instagram handle. It's also my TikTok handle. I kind of forgot I had one. Maybe I'll make more of those. But if you want like notices to like when my notices, if you want to see when my shows are, I will post them on
Notifications, I think, is
Instagram.
what you're about to say.
Notice it. What is this, newsies? Like, I don't know what's happening.
Any shows down the line or nothing as of yet?
Not specifically, but I'm looking to join a group in the coming months to help with writing and like restructuring some things. So just stay tuned, guys. I'm really excited. This has been a long time coming, and I need to get back on stage.
And if you, I don't know, I asked a big question during this, and I can't really remember what it was, but if you know the answer to that and any other questions that we had during this, or if you have any speculations, like do you think Daniela is the next matriarch of the
Yes.
Heights? I weigh in. You can email
You're.
me at buttersongpod@gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at buttersongpod. What were you about to say?
Your other question was, does Nina go to school because she's pressured by everyone or just her dad? And is the pressure
Well,
from everyone else in her head?
do you think it's everyone in the Heights is pressuring Nina, or is it just her dad and maybe like Benny? And if you want to be part of next episode's conversation, well, we're continuing on with Second Chance Month, and we're doing the Second Chance of Funny Face.
Funny face. That's
Funny
not a song.
Face.
I started singing Smelly Cat, but funny face.
Ashley, thank you so much for coming back on. And it's weird that it's not Riverdale, but hey, we all have to grow.
You
We
know
all
what?
have
We
to.
learned that in this musical.
We need the next chapter.
We need the next chapter, which is funny because Riverdale is all chapters.
Shut up. Anyway, thank you so much for listening and bye for now, everyone. Special thanks to Aaron Troy for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.